train a-coming, it's rolling around a bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn, direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. You know, it's always hard to pick the worst of the worst. Troy Reed does it, and MSNBC, enjoy watching that show. But the worst of the worst, who is the worst Republican senator? And there's so many you could talk about: Cruz, Hawley, some of these others, snakes, very, very damaging to the United States. But one who really does stand out, one who really does stand out is Rand Paul of Kentucky. Now, Rand Paul, his name isn't Rand. He's Randy. He grew up as Randy. His wife finally said, you know, Randy, you know, you want to run for politics, you got to come up with a kind of a more imposing name, you know, Randy. I mean, come on. And look, Randy's a fine name, but, you know, she felt that it wasn't strong enough. So why don't you knock off the Y, call yourself Rand Paul. They think you somehow are a follower of Ayn Rand, Ayn Rand. And Rand was a girl, came from Russia when she was 12 years old, 100 years ago. Read some Nietzsche, misunderstood it, decided to write novels that she thought glorified individualism and that kind of thing. And one of the things that always bugs me, and the Federalist Society is big on this, but a lot of so-called intellectuals on the Republican side, you know, they'll say, what do you read? I read Ayn Rand. Well, the minute somebody says, I read Ayn Rand, my eyes glaze over. My eyes glaze over. This is pathetic. So this guy says he's Rand Paul. Okay, he's Rand Paul. He has single-handedly blocked the Iron Dome replenishment for Israel. Israel was subjected to 4,000 rockets from Iranian-backed groups, Hezbollah, Hamas. And fortunately, they were all blocked. I think maybe 8 or 9 were not blocked, but they were, and may have gotten in, but, and there were casualties, but casualties were really avoided. Right now, if it hadn't been for Iron Dome, that would have hit major cities, killed a lot of people. Iran is supposedly developing a guided missile for these people. And if that happens, that's going to be war with Iran. They've got to stop at some point. Now, how does he block this? He just raises a pinky and says, I want to block it. Just the way Cruz and Hawley block ambassadors and NSA appointments. Remember, it was the squad that tried to block it on the Democratic side. Several of the squad are anti-Semitic, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and the rest of them are very anti-Israel. Israel is our ally. But more importantly, there's about 6 million people over there, maybe a little more. There are about 1.5 billion people around the world who have this intense hatred, and it's got to come down. It's got to come down. We've got to replenish Iron Dome, and the Democrats have got to figure out a way to get rid of Rand Paul's objections on the right, who's really just mirroring the squad's objections on the left. I'm tired of all these people, really tired of them. And going forward, I think the ultimate solution, and one that actually cropped up in the Trump administration, the Abraham Accords. The Trump administration was instrumental in getting Bahrain, Sudan, Morocco, United Arab Emirates, and a few others to join the Abraham Accords, which basically says we all have a common prophet, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. And when I say common prophet, I'm not saying the top guy, but what I'm saying is somebody everybody respects is Abraham, Prophet Abraham. Respect him. And so why don't we get together? And I think what we ultimately should do is make it part of our foreign policy. All of our embassies in all of these Islamic countries, we want you to join the Abraham Accords. We're going to take that into account when we discuss what kind of economic overtures we're going to do with you and so forth. Going to the lines, Cassandra Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Cassandra?
Hi, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. I am up early. early because I was able to get things done early for work, so I'm able to call in.
Great.
But
I remember you when I had the 2 o'clock show, you'd call in. Cassandra, it's good to hear your voice again. What's on your mind?
Yeah, well, I will try and catch you again early in the morning. I have a question for you. You were talking about Kyrsten Sinema in your first hour, I believe. And I just wanted to ask you about the people who are the protesters who are approaching her, and if she really does have a legal opportunity to engage them. And maybe I can explain what I mean. Many of the people in the videos who are trying to petition her, they're from DACA. They are not U.S. citizens. Now, I remember when I was going to contact Mark Pocan, and I went on his website, and I was going to fill out this web form, and at the end of the form, it said I had to be a resident. I had to be a constituent of his. Are DACA people allowed to vote? Are they truly constituents? And I don't like the way Kyrsten Sinema is ignoring them. I think she should at least acknowledge them and say, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not able to support this or whatever, but are they constituents? I was just curious about
that. Excellent question. And, you know, Cassandra, I do this show, Matt Flynn Direct, 6 to 8 a.m. every weekday. So if you're up, have your coffee, dial in, call in a question. Love to hear from you like I did at the 2 o'clock show in the old days. Anyway, those are excellent questions. I'm going to give you the legal answer. Then I'm going to give you what I think is the policy answer. The legal answer is that DACA people do not vote because DACA stands for Deferred Action on Childhood Arrivals. So when their parents came to this country, they came undocumented, you know, illegally, and they were carrying their baby, could be 6 months old, could be 2 weeks old, could be a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old, but they're kids. So they came here. They don't know any other country in their memory, really. They speak English the way you and I speak English. I mean, you know, they work. Many of them have served in the military. And now the answer is, what, are we going to deport these people? And the answer is no. We should make them citizens. Pathway to citizenship. If one of them has, you know, felony convictions, that kind of thing, it's a different story. But these are basically very good people. So when they demonstrate, technically, no, they are not entitled to vote. Are they constituents? If they live in Arizona, and many of them do, you could argue that even somebody who can't vote, for instance, a child can't vote under the age of 18. So is a 17-year-old a constituent of Sinema? I would say yes. So I would say they're constituents. Now, what are we going to do about that? What are we going to do about that? I think she should acknowledge them. When my friend Mark Pocan has on his form, are you a resident and so on? You know, I called Rand Paul's office yesterday in Kentucky, told him to vote for the Iron Dome funding. Basically, politicians pay most attention to people who can vote for them. Let's be blunt, you know, Democrat or Republican. That doesn't mean you can't make your way, your views known. So I agree with you, Sinema should absolutely treat these people with respect, but I think people should not go into bathrooms and take pictures of women adjusting their skirt coming out of the stall. I think that's wrong. It's just wrong. Going to a break. Lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
I bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line, far from Folsom Prison. That's where I want to stay.